There's times when we're reminded that we all have something to learn in our faith, and often it's when our little children lead us in something. As we start this morning, looking at another week in the way of Jesus and what it looks like to follow in the way of Jesus, I want to start with something of a confession. It's that I don't really want to be here this morning. I'm going to talk just for a minute or two about that, not as a way of complaining. I'm happy to have this job. I'm thankful for all of you. It's not that I don't want to see you, but I think we all have those moments where we just don't feel like coming to worship, don't feel like being with God's people. And I want to share a little bit about my experience this week because I hope it will be illustrative and helpful for you. This week was really busy for me, but it was very good. I had a chance to speak at an InterVarsity Christian fellowship gathering, preach at their monthly gathering with about, 40 or 50 college students, which was a blast on Wednesday night. I had a chance to, in the midst of the regular routines of the week, meet with a number of you, encourage and be encouraged by several of our leaders, staff, and then also council members. And I had a chance, as Dave mentioned earlier, wherever he went, there he is. As Dave mentioned earlier, had a chance to go over to Westminster to share in fellowship time with other pastors and elders and deacons in our denomination. To have a chance to share the amazing things that God is doing here at New Life. To celebrate those with others, to be encouraged by what others are doing, and really excited about the faith and about New Life, about our building, about our location, about the amazing things God is doing in this sort of 12,000 square feet, but also in our midst, in our community, in our fellowship. I had a busy and a full and an exciting week, and I knew at the beginning that I was going to come crashing into Sunday, not having had a day off, because Friday and Saturday are normally my days off, and Friday and Saturday were meeting days. So this morning I came to church and I got a phone call just after 7 o'clock saying that Bob Pauley had died. And I just thought, oh, what's the point? I'm so tired from the week and I want to be here, but then hearing Bob's passing, I just thought that one thing just kind of flattened all the excitement, all the hope, all the joy that I had had from the week about what God was doing, that one thing just kind of leveled me out. And I share this because I don't think I'm alone. It's not that all of you had the identical week to me, but I think many of us get to that point sometimes where things are rolling along, life is going good, and it's getting busier and busier, and then something happens, and it just flattens us. It levels us out. And we're just not sure how to get through that next day. And I think certainly Mary's experiencing that this morning. Maybe Gallegos' are a little bit too. The Dabneys are, that family, as they grieve the loss of Faye. And then this morning, as I was preparing for my sermon, the one that I don't want to preach, because I remember don't want to be here, the summary statement that I had prepared earlier in the week for my sermon was that God always provides for whatever goes on inside of us. God always provides for whatever goes on inside of us. And so this morning, I'm preaching to myself, preaching to you, and we have this wonderful opportunity to be encouraged and to see in this text how God provides for us whatever's going on inside of us. So I had originally planned to read a bigger chunk of Mark chapter 2, but we're actually just going to focus on a couple verses, verses 20. Is that better? No? Yes. All right. Getting a shrug from the back. That's always good. Matthew, or Mark, excuse me, chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields with his disciples. And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, to Jesus, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Somebody once told me that most every church he had ever been a part of was driven by the ABCs of church. He said, every church I've been a part of was driven by the ABCs of church: attendance, building, and cash. So those were the three things that drove every church I've ever been a member at or been a part of: attendance, building, and cash. And if we look around in our culture, those are some of the things that we value most as Americans, isn't it? We want to be a part of something big, and so a bigger church and a bigger service is better than a smaller one. We want what's new and pretty and better, and so a newer, fancier, more high-tech building is better than an older one with red carpet, right? And cash. You can't do anything without cash. You can't do anything without the finances and the money to be able to do everything else. And in many ways, these are the three ABCs that define and drive Christians and churches, especially as a community, in our culture today. But then, when we come to this text, we see something really interesting. Because you see, it's easy to look at attendance, it's easy to look at buildings, and it's easy to look at cash. See, there are many things in the life of an individual Christian and many things in the life of a church that are easily observable. And it's the easily observable things, the external things, that are most easy to quantify and most easy to measure, and so they're the things that we often default to measuring. But in this text, Jesus seems to be getting at something that's a little more internal and a little less external. Something that can't be so easily measured or understood, or at least not easily seen from the outside. Jesus and his disciples are walking along on the Sabbath, the Sunday. They're walking through the grain fields, and the Pharisees and the Jewish people had very strict laws about Sunday, very unlike we do. You were only allowed to walk a certain distance, and only then if you were going home. You weren't allowed to go anywhere on Sunday, but you could go home if you had already been somewhere else. You weren't allowed to work, which meant you weren't allowed to harvest the produce of your field. And even walking through a field and picking some grain to eat was considered harvesting and working. These were the exterior signs, the rules that defined God's people, that made them confident and sure that they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, that the world and their lives looked like it was supposed to look. And here comes Jesus and his disciples walking through the grain field when they shouldn't be walking, picking grain that they shouldn't be picking, and then eating it. They shouldn't have been doing that either. And instead of defending their actions or saying that all those rules and laws are wrong, Jesus says something very, very different. He says, "Don't you know the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath?" You see, those ABCs of church growth or that drive the church, whatever they are, it's not that they're bad. Attendance is important. We only grow in our faith and we only grow in our relationship with other believers when we're around to do it. And a building is significant. Having a place to be able to worship, to gather together, having a place that's welcoming, that's a place for us to gather together to invite others into, that where they're eager and comfortable to be. That's important. And we do need money. We need money to pay for, to keep the lights on, to do updates and renovations and other things that are necessary from time to time. We need money. I need to get paid. As much as I love doing this, I have to feed my family as well. You see that the ABCs are unimportant. It's simply that the external reality isn't the most important. That in fact, as we were driving home from classes, one of the two guys I was driving with made the point, he said, an honest person and a liar can say the same thing, but for different reasons. Right? An honest person and a liar can say or do exactly the same thing, but for very different reasons and very different intent. And that's the danger of only looking on the outside. That if all we ever do is measure attendance and our building and low, then perhaps we're doing something. Perhaps God is blessing our ministry, or perhaps we're not. Those external things are important, but they're not necessarily indicators of whether we're really followers, whether we're really being disciples as well. A man who I really appreciate, a theologian, his name is Mike Breen, he said this. He said, if you make disciples, you will always get the church. But if you make a church, you rarely get disciples. If you make disciples, you will always get the church. But if you make a church, you will rarely get disciples. See, what Jesus teaches us, not only here but elsewhere in Scripture, is that the external reality, the external actions of following him and coming together as a community, they're important and valuable, but only when they flow out of a transformed inner reality. Those external actions are important only when they flow out of a transformed heart, a transformed spirit. And that's frankly something that's much harder to measure. Is in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus' disciples are very much looking on the outside. They're looking at Jesus' ministry. They're looking at the future. They're trying to discern what to do next. And Jesus tells them that he's going to the cross, that he's going to die. And just after that, he tells them, or asks them, who they think that he is. And Peter replies, well, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the anointed one. To which Jesus responds, blessed are you, Peter, for this was not revealed to you by men, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now consider just for a moment if Jesus had said those words to you. If in a moment of confession or of faith, you profess your faith in Jesus, and he comes to you in some way and says, because of your faith, I will build my church. Think of the encouragement in that statement. Not just encouragement in our faith, but encouragement that it's not us who build the church. See, from the very beginning of his ministry through to the end, Jesus made clear that the growing of his kingdom and the building of his church was something that he would do, not something we do. Our task, in other words, is not to grow the church, but to make disciples. It's not to make sure more people come or the building gets bigger or the budget gets bigger. Our task is to have our hearts transformed by the Holy Spirit and invite other people to that same. God will take care of the growth. Now that is a pretty hard thing to do, isn't it? It's hard to do, not least in part because, as I said earlier, transformation, inner transformation, is difficult to measure. It's far more easy to focus on the ABCs, the attendance and the building and the cash, than it is to get to D, which is discipleship, or F, which is faith. I've got nothing for E. You'll have to come up with that on your own. But it's difficult. It's difficult to measure transformation in our own hearts and in the hearts of others. And this is where faith comes in. Because you see, God doesn't ask us to measure our growth. He asks us to grow. He doesn't ask us to be a part of a big church or to make sure that other people are coming to church. He asks us to be faithful. He doesn't, in other words, entrust us with the result. He entrusts us to be a part of the process. In the book of James, the New Testament book of James, James says in chapter 4, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. It's a challenge that James is giving to those Christians who would say that, well, I have the internal reality. I'm being transformed internally, so I don't need to worry about any of those other things. I don't need to worry about the ABCs or the D or the F. It's only what's on the inside that counts. See, good deeds are important. The external life of a Christian, the outflowing of our faith is important because it proves and it demonstrates that internal reality. Just as the number of cards and thank yous and encouragements and cookies that I received last week for Pastor's Appreciation Day really did prove to me how much all of you appreciate me. In much the same way, Our acts of faith, when they come from a transformed heart, prove to our Father in heaven and prove to others that we really are who we say we are, that our lives really are being transformed. And so those ABCs are important, but only as evidence of the deeper reality that we are being transformed, that we are being changed. All of which gets us back to our text for this morning. Mark chapter 2, where Jesus says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." If, like me, you came crashing into this weekend, busy and full and exhausted from the good things or the bad things or the difficult things that were happening, then probably like me, you thought to yourself, "I don't know if I want to go to church this morning." Now, you all don't get paid to go, so you have an even harder time deciding. But there are those moments where we really wonder, and we need to hear the truth of Jesus' words that the Sabbath was made for us, for people. Not that we were made for the Sabbath. You see, what Jesus invites us to on a Sunday morning is two things. Number one, to be reminded of our identity, to be reminded of who we are. And number two, to be formed and shaped in that identity, and reformed and reshaped in that identity. To be reminded of who we are can only happen if we're here, because we so easily forget. We forget all the things that we're supposed to do in a week, whether that's the laundry or the errands or people we're supposed to meet with, things we're supposed to get done. And in the midst of a busy week, when all these things have stacked up and conspired to keep us busy all the time, we might well think to ourselves, I'm not sure I can do it. I'm not sure I can keep going. I'm not sure I'm strong enough or talented enough to keep this up. And what we need when we come to worship is to be reminded that we're right. That we're not strong enough. That we're not talented enough. That we're not good enough to go through this life all on our own. Which is why we need Jesus. Why we need the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Because we're not going to get through the next week, at least not well, without that Spirit's power in us. And we come to worship, we come to this time of rest and worship communally to be formed and shaped, to be reoriented away from ourselves, away from our distractions, away from our worries, to focus on our Father, first of all, our Father in heaven, and then second of all, to focus on one another. Because if it's true that we can't do it by ourselves and we need our Father in heaven, then it's also true that we need one another. That whether we're going through difficulty and trial and grief and we can't find a way forward, we need the fellowship of believers to walk alongside of us, to encourage us, to hug us, to hold our hands, to maybe make a meal. And when we're going through the heights of joy and excitement, we need the body of believers, somebody to share that with, to share our joy with, and to be as excited about what God is doing in my life and in your life as I am and as you are. See, the Sabbath wasn't, or man wasn't made, the Sabbath wasn't made for man, but man was made for the Sabbath. Let me get that right. I'm sorry, I said it backwards. Jesus says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. When we feel least like coming to worship to God, that's when we need him most. That's when we need one another most. This morning, my hope, my prayer for you is that through this message, through our worship, that God is reminding you who you are, of your identity, that you are his, that he loves you not because of all those good things that you do, although they are good and they are wonderful, but that he loves you because of who you are, because who he has made you to be. And I hope that you are reminded and perhaps challenged that your response to the Father's love is not to try harder, not to push yourself just a little bit harder, but on this Sabbath day, to rest in the Father's love, to set aside the urge to achieve, to set aside the urge to produce, not because you want to look a certain way, but because you are being transformed from someone who has to work and earn the Father's favor to someone who can rest securely, knowing that God loves you for who you are. There's nothing you can do to earn that love because it is already yours. See, the Sabbath was made for you to be reminded of who you are. So Jesus could be Lord, not just at the Sabbath, but of your heart and of mine. Let's pray. God, we need to be here. So often we are told in our lives that we can do it by ourselves. If we just try a little bit harder, work a little bit harder, look a little bit better, that then everything will be okay. But we need to be here. Thank you for reminding us who we are and for challenging us with your call. God, to those hearts that are grieving this morning, I pray for a special measure of your love. And to those of us who are overjoyed and excited for the future, I pray for that challenge that we need to not forget who we are, but to be drawn back each week into relationship and our identity that is formed and shaped through relationship with you and with others. Father, hear us as we pray and hear us as we sing. In Jesus' name, amen.